Sounds like a podcast.
The mic's in the computer. That one ain't being used.
Okay. Oh, is it? It's just picking it up right there? Okay. We hadn't podcast in a long time because Austin had the password and the username and all that. So we have it now. We're going to upload about 42 podcasts. We were out of room before. Because a lot of the guys from the other churches kind of keep track with where we are and what we're studying. So, because we're all bored of it. I don't know how they do that.
But, I just want to go on record as saying I don't know if it's really working or not.
I believe it recorded, so it is on there. Let's go pull the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, that we are nothing and you are everything. Lord, that you would take a group of men, Lord, from so many different places, Lord, and you know what? The thing I love about this room is nobody really cares what anybody else does during the day. But they know when they come down here at night, they love the Lord. Nobody cares about what their bank account looks like. Nobody cares about what kind of power and prestige they hold. They just know that the brother sitting next to them loves them and prays for them. And Lord, that's why you created us. As mighty men, we left everything behind, Lord God, and we come in the cave now. We come in the cave to get filled up by you so we can go out and slay the giants in our lives, Lord, and instruct those people who don't know you how good you are and how you lead us on. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Turn to 1 Peter 2, 11 through 17. This topic has been on my heart for about a month. And I didn't really, you know, I got my Strong's concordance out. You got a, what you got? You're on potty break for Keith Aldridge.
Peter what?
1 Peter 2, 11 through 17. All right. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants to God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, I want to go back and let's read verse 15 again. And I want that to be kind of our thing here. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. So, what is the root word of ignorance? Do I? Ignore. So we see the root word of ignorance is ignore. Now look at verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. And I had a different version in my other Bible that sounded a little different, but it said trust. It said trust your brother. So look in 1 Peter 1:14. Since we're already there. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in what? Ignorance. When you were ignorant, it meant you were ignoring who? But now that you walk with him, you listen to who? So we shouldn't be what?
Ignorant.
Okay. So if there's ignorance, obviously God has been ignored. You know. So how is wisdom different than ignorance?
God's knowledge.
What's the root word of wisdom?
Wise. Okay.
So who gives wise counsel?
God.
So understand, the same thing was heard. Because to be ignorant, you have to have heard it but not done anything with it. Didn't say they didn't hear. It's like a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. So same message was preached. One was acted upon, one was not. Wise counsel was given, one was acted upon, one was not. Those people that did not act upon the wise counsel are what? Am I wrong? Wise counsel did what? Acted upon what God had told them to do. So that's how wisdom and ignorance are different. When is wisdom first sought out in the Bible?
Well, it's when Adam
and Eve. Turn Genesis 3:6. Absolutely. So wisdom is of value, right? Is ignorance of value? It would seem no. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So we see that the woman saw the tree was pleasing to the eye, good for food, and also very desirable for gaining wisdom. Because wisdom makes us like who? So did they go about getting wisdom the right way? What did they do to try to get wisdom? Try to circumvent God. They tried to get their wisdom outside of God. So although they thought they were wise, they were what? They thought they were fools. They were ignorant. Why is that pursuit of wisdom wrong? Why would you want to gain wisdom without God?
Get around
Him. Because what? Now this is so consistent with the Bible. Jesus said, "What narrow is the way, and wide is the road. Narrow is the way that leads to life forever. Wide is the road that leads to death and destruction." If you've got a lot of sin with you, where are you going to try to go? On a superhighway, because there's room out there. Narrow's the gate. You got to take that stuff off if you're going to get really wise and go through the gate with Jesus. So pursuing wisdom around God, not through God, is not only wrong, it's a sin, but you're not really wise. It's trying to cheat and steal and get wisdom in a way that God doesn't honor. Read Proverbs 1:5. Somebody read that. Huh? Oh, you ain't got your Bible.
Let the wise listen and ask for the learning, and let the discerning guide give guidance.
So let the wise listen. So what's the key to getting wise? And add to their what?
Learning.
Who they listening to? How do you qualify who you listen to? This is important. And it's important in this room.
What you surround yourself with.
It's what you surround yourself. If I'm going to listen to Tim or Jim or Ben, what am I going to make sure that is consistent with me listening to them?
Truth, God.
Wisdom. That they have obtained wisdom through who?
God.
Not around Him. But through Him. You know, the snake, the serpent told, instructing Eve, eat here. Snake didn't have any fruit around. And that's what we do a lot of times. We take our advice from people who don't have any fruit around.
They may know about God, but they don't know God.
Yeah.
The snake knew about God.
Amen.
They know God.
Amen. You know, I had a brother call me today. Sunday, heard from another brother. He said, "Have you heard?" And I'm going to just say it because this is the way it is. Because he's a brother in this room. Jody Scout came for several months. He said, "Have you seen Jody?" I said, "No, I haven't seen Jody." He said, "He's missing." I said, "Sure enough." I said, "Well, I hadn't heard from him in a while, but, you know." I said, "Let me call Andy Boykin. Andy sees him some." Called Andy. He said, "No, I hadn't seen him in a little bit." Said he's been missing about a week. Prayed about it. Bothered me. today, my phone rings. And he says, hey, man, I don't want y'all to lift one up for me tonight. I'm in the hospital. Been here about a week. Fell off the wagon, got involved with people I shouldn't have been with. And I've got some congestive heart stuff going on, and my stomach's messed up, and it's gotten so bad I couldn't walk anymore. You know, what we say in here stays in here. He's a brother. We love him. But, you know, he rejected wise counsel in pursuit of ignorance. I love that brother. But that's, you know, now we see, when we see Jody, you know what we need to do? Speak wisdom to him. You know, but that's what it looks like. You know, Jody's not the only one in this room. I've rejected wise counsel. You know what it did? I was ignorant. And showed my ignorance. So to whom do wise people listen to? Other wise people. Whom do ignorant people listen to? Other ignorant. It's a fulfilling prophecy that ignorant people will listen to ignorant people. Now, but ignorant people have the same access to being wise as the wise people. They just reject, they hear it, they listen to it, but they don't absorb it and they don't take it to heart. And you have to ask yourself, well, what do the people give me advice? What's in it for them? If Tim gives me some advice, and usually Tim will, when I'm way off base or something's going on, I'll say, hey, brother, tell me what you think about this. And he'll say, this isn't what you want to hear, but it's what you're going to hear. Now, I have the option. Tim's told me what he thinks. He's prayed about it. God is using Tim. I know Tim's spiritual leader of his house. He's been through many a battle. And God has delivered him through some stuff. So, I don't really like that. Maybe I'll talk to somebody else. You know what we like? Well, guess what? That happens every day. Every day. So, you know, and we see in the Bible some of God's anointed leaders rejected wise counsel. Now, this is what really hurts is how much ignorance does it take to make you ignorant?
About that much.
Because you know how much ignorance and how much being ignorant will ruin your legacy forever? A rooftop experience for David. When God had spoke to David back in Leviticus and told David, said, hey, brother, when you're going to be a king, don't take more than one wife or too many horses. Speaking wisdom. You know why he told him that? Because he knew he'd come up. When Michael says, hey, brothers, keep your eyes on the prize. Don't give your desires over to lust. Evil desires, sinful thoughts. Don't do that. You know why he says that? Because he knows it's going to come up. So, here's David in a rooftop experience. Could have been a defining moment for him. He could have left his children, Absalom. You think Absalom would have hated David had David not had sexual sin in his legacy? You remember what happened? His half-brother raped his sister Tamar, and they went to David and said, David, father, look what's happened. He said, let's not make a big deal about it. You know why? Because David hadn't dealt with his yet. That's the wisdom David gave to Absalom. He gave him ignorance instead of wisdom. And so in the ignorance he gave him, Absalom turned against him. Listen, this will be something. And it's going to be a rooftop experience for one of them. David didn't see it coming. He's going to get a cheap thrill. And you know what? Sex is so powerful. It's all through the Bible. It's about 90% of what we talk about in here. Because it is addicting. It is something that is hard for us to get around. So we better be ready for when the rooftop comes. So, you know, let's go to 1 Kings 3.
Tim, I was just thinking, but we're talking about Adam and Eve, the wisdom of the tree of knowledge. Aren't we all so much like Eve from the standpoint of God has spoken to us all? You know, we know what that we should be seeking His wisdom but yet we keep turning to that earthly wisdom.
Amen. Well, you know, because it's candy. Man, it tastes good for a little while. And then you go to the dentist, he says, man, your teeth are falling out. You got a mouthful of candy. What you been eating? Candy corn. All the time. 3 meals a day. You know. That's no different than you know, looking at porn all day. Or some of the day. Part of the day.
What scripture?
First Kings 3. 1-15. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built in the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices for what was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right or wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, not for long life or wealth, for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant. Sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. Okay. So Solomon went humbly before the Lord. And he didn't ask for personal stuff. He asked for wisdom in helping lead God's people. And God honored that and made him the wisest man ever. But God gave, in 1 Kings 11, go to 1 Kings 11. So Solomon is very wise. He has gotten wisdom from who? Because he was what? Humble before the Lord. So King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. That's what happened to Solomon.
Just a bunch of them.
Hey, and you know what God had spoke to David was still consistent for Solomon. He said, but take the one. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Asherah, the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did all the same for his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because of his heart had been turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son, yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but I will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Solomon, God told him, do not intermarry with foreign wives. But Solomon didn't listen to God's wisdom. And it was Solomon's downfall. And what's Solomon's legacy? What did Solomon leave his children? Nothing. Nothing what God had given him. Listen to this. I'm telling you, this is going to come up in each one of our lives. In a defining moment, we're going to have a chance to either be wise or ignorant. Same thing's been heard, but it's what are we going to do with it? And I don't care how many times you've made ignorant decisions, the next one can be wise. You can start a legacy of wisdom for you and yours today. Amen? But you have to not just hear it, but you have to be a doer of the word. You have to put it into action. So foreign wives brought down Solomon. Wisest man ever. You think Michael's preaching on Sunday saying, hey, fellas, keep your eyes to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. Solomon's sitting in the crowd. He said, I hear that. Amen to that. No foreign wives. Amen to that. But then he gets outside the church. He's like, don't, don't. Got Shane shirt on, kicking it down. First time, shaking it up, you know. He got the 22 spinning, you know. And so he says, "Hey, what you Moabites doing? What's your name?" And so it starts there. It started with a thought of, "I'm going to be over." You have to be where foreign women are to get with foreign women. You know, that's why they're called foreign. You have to be there. You have to take yourself to the place that sin is going to occur. So it started with the thought, hey, I'll go over there and show them how wise I am. Pride comes before a haughty fall, God said in His Word. He didn't think it could happen to him. He thought, I'll be stronger than that. You know, I'll review this porn for, you know, scholastic. I'll take a report back to the fellas, tell them what I see, so we can pray against it. You know. There's brothers we've been praying for in here about pornography, and I don't see them in here tonight. Somebody needs to call them. We'll get to it. Amen? We need to drag a brother into wisdom. So, what about King Saul? Preceded David. Was he wise or ignorant? What's his legacy? 1 Samuel 13:13. It's in God's Word. Why? God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He's telling us what happened with a bunch of other people. So 1 Samuel 13:13 says, well, I'll just tell you, okay, Saul seeking wisdom. God quit speaking to Saul. Because God picked Saul, and Saul was humble at the beginning. And then Saul got to doing his own thing. In 13:13, it says, you acted foolishly, Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. So what God had told him to do, he didn't do. And Samuel's there telling him, a godly man saying, hey, you didn't do what he told you to do. So you're not going to keep the kingdom. Instead of turning and falling on his knees and asking God to, you know, he didn't repent and restore and go through the whole process. He kept on his own. Okay, we see Samuel dies. And in 1 Samuel 28, just flip on over. And I want to throw a whole bunch of scripture on it so you know that it's true and God speaks it. It's not, it doesn't matter if you believe I said it or not. 1 Samuel 28:16 said, Samuel said, why do you consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? Wow, how powerful is that? Why do you consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. Now, Saul didn't think it was proper to carry out his fierce wrath on the Amalekites. He didn't do what God had told him to. He killed a bunch of them, but he brought the king back and didn't do what God had told him to, to the letter. Now, what I want to know is, to the letter, has God spoke something to you, either in your quiet time or through a brother that felt very strongly about something that you need to do and you hadn't done it? And now God is wrestling something away from you. You know, whether it be your job, you know, whether it be, you know, you didn't get clean from drugs or alcohol or whatever, and now you lost your job. But somebody told you a long time ago, hey, you got to get clean. Are you laying up in a hospital fighting for your life? You know. Michael and I get a call from a brother about 3 a.m., about once a month. And
it's gone down.
Yeah, it has, because we had a contract with it and said, hey, this is the way it's going to go. It's going to go like this, and we're going to help you. We're going to get you where you want to be, but you got to hold to it, because there's got to be teeth to it if you don't. And the teeth is that we can't help you anymore. We're not going to pour more into your life than you're willing to pour. And that contract was broken. So it's for Michael and I, we don't spend a lot of time with him now, you know. And I pray for him. But God said, in God's word, it says, turn them loose to Satan so that they may be saved. You know? In between heaven and hell is no place to be. There's no place called purgatory. You know? 28:16. So the Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of him because you didn't obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord will hand you over, both Israel and you, to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistines. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he'd eaten nothing that day and night. Now understand, you know how he got to talk to Samuel? Samuel's dead here. Samuel's dead in this scripture. Saul went to a medium, to a witch in Endor, and asked first thing, God had told Saul to expel spiritists, mediums, divinators, whatever, out of the kingdom. And he said, done. And it said, he tells his yes man, says, man, I wish I had me one of those mediums so I could ask what to do here. Oh, we just put her right over here. We know where she is. Wow, how's that? Gonna expel it from your life, but you know right where to go get it when you need it. Is it really expelled? So he goes to the witch and tells the witch, says, hey, who you want? Says, Samuel. Samuel comes up and says, why did you call me up? You know? And he told him exactly what the Lord was going to do. He said, tomorrow, you'll be right here next to me with your son. Understand, his legacy came with him. The death sentence that he inherited went to his son because he didn't listen to the wisdom of the woman. And you know how funny this is, man? This is so God. Jody called me in the middle of while I was doing this today. And so I got Jody Skelton right here, hospital. He said, pray for my daughter, Lauren, who's right here. We're going to pray she's not inheriting what he's fallen into. But what will happen when we continue to disobey God? We see it right here. He'll wrestle it away from us to get our attention for whatever we need to do. So are you ignorant or wise? Who thinks you're wise? Who would testify to your wisdom if you're wise? Who would testify to your ignorance? What evidence do you think you have to defend your ignorance or wisdom? You know, it's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. Not a heaven or hell deal. You're already there. But it is prior to all the tears being dried up. You know how you tell, you know what evidence you have to defend your wisdom?
Fruit. Yeah, fruit.
Or is there spoiled fruit around you? Is it spoiled and stinking and kind of rotten? You might want to change who you listen to. You want to change what you listen, or maybe not change what you listen to. You might want to start putting some of it into practice. Because you're obviously hearing it. I'm hearing it. I got to put it into practice. Respond in the opposite spirit is one of them.
You know, Tim, when I say fruit grow, I think I'm realizing that our first fruit that people should see in our life is in our family. From our walk, you know, I mean, I think it starts with you and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit filling you and overflowing, splashing out in your family. And your people in your world and your family should be able to see that fruit right there. Your kids, you know, your kids should be able to bust in on you having a quiet time every now and then. Mm-hmm. Your kids should be able to come up and ask for a prayer for. That kind of thing, where your parents, your kids know that you're a spiritual leader, and I think that we, you know, you got to look at it like that, like concentric rings, you know, that fan out. You know, way out here might be your guy in high school that the Lord's connecting you with. Yeah, up close is you, your wife, your kids, church family, etc. And if you don't see, if people can't see fruit, then you need to check up in the neck up. You know?
I mean, well, I think the dog tail, just a dog tail that.
Or a dog tail.
Yeah. It's a small like car tail. You know, we say a lot where we're at. Put legs to your ministry. And one of the biggest things is because sometimes people say, go out there and go feed somebody. You're like, okay, what do you do? But when you actually get around people that are really putting legs to it, and you get out, and it actually truly is almost a door-to-door type thing. But if people can't know who you are, I mean, I bet most people in this room root for Alabama or Auburn. I know I don't, but that doesn't matter. But if people know what football team you work for and where you work and where you live and what church you go to, maybe they don't know that last one. They might know all that other stuff, but they don't know that very last one. And they don't know you're a Christian. Sometimes they're just looking for a resource to find out information. And they might not ever know where to get it. And if they didn't know, if they knew Doug, and they knew Doug worked where he does, and he likes to eat what he does, but if they don't know that, that's the first way in your ministry.
Amen.
Is let people know that you're a son of Christ.
And if you don't know that your kids are saved, and you're waiting on the youth director, or youth pastor to, you're ignorant. That's there's your sign. If you don't know your wife's saved, there's your sign. You know, we've talked a lot about it here, that there's a reverse generational thing going on. If you don't know your parents are saved, if you've done nothing about it, it's time. You know, there's wisdom in fearing the Lord God Almighty. Look, the reason, you know why I went back and he was talking about David's response to Nathan. You know, who's your Nathan? If you don't have a Nathan, you need to get a Nathan. There's some Nathans up in here, I'll tell you more than you want to know. I love them. Hey, brother called me up. Say, you wrong. Thank you. I need those guys in my life, you know. But what man has God sent to speak a word to you? And did you listen? David's response to Nathan. Now, we read that in the Bible and think, all right, man, Nathan, he nutted up. Come on. Do you understand what Nathan did? Nathan went up to the king and told him a story, a parable. And David got all up on it, ready to just bang the gavel and send somebody to death. And he said, well, that is you, my brother. Dropped it like it's hot. I mean, you know what David's response was? Because he's a godly man. And he fell from grace, but he repented in that action. He fell on his face. Cried out to God. And laid there because Nathan had told him the baby was going to die. He prayed and thought, well, God has moved before and drawn back, you know, and I'm just going to see. I'm gonna pray like I'm going to see it happen. And David laid there, and servants walking around, sackcloth on, getting it, fasting, not eating, just laying right there. That's David's response. He's getting wise again. You know, falling's not a... It doesn't mean it's over. It's how long you're going to lay down. After the baby had died and his servants came to him, David's response was he got up and worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord again. So however long we've been able, it's time to get up and worship the Lord. Amen?
Thank you, Tim. Now, I want to go back to Solomon for a minute. Now, he was all that wise. I mean, and everybody knew it. And, I feel like for us, a lot of times, when we feel like we're doing good, we're in our word, we might be more susceptible. We're definitely a bigger target. And I feel like, I don't believe he had accountability. And I think that's what we're for each other, to actually step up and say, man, I know you're not doing right. I'm not seeing the fruit I was seeing, or have been seeing in the past. And it made me think about that. And I think it applies to all of us. Another fact, what I thought about it is, women really was a lot of the guy's downfall. He would be one of them, I'd say, would fall in that category. And no matter if you're married or single, just one little thing of a woman can get you sidetracked because you forget about everything else. And it made me think of all the guys that we've had in here doing so good. And me and Michael talked about this at lunch one day. You can see it, they're on fire, and then a woman pops up, and then they're gone. And there's been a lot of them in here, and we don't ever see them again. And I'm not saying all women are bad, but I just, I didn't understand why sex is so powerful as far as wrecking you completely. Till Michael explained it to me in a different way, and what he said, it's something I never thought about. It's something to think about when you're on the internet and you start wanting to look at or having those urges or maybe a television show. And he told me something about how it was that sex in marriage is sacred way of reproducing, and it's special, and it's one of the most special things God made, and it's something that Satan uses in a powerful way to tear people apart because of that. And man, I never looked at it that way. It gave me a better understanding of why it's so powerful, and it's made me, try not to look that much more, because I think it can be unbearable if you don't watch it. You know what I mean? Like, you start letting that seed start growing the wrong seed.
Well, yeah, check your word. I mean, that's what Satan did with all God's big Samson, Sex, foreign women, Saul, wasn't foreign women, but King Ahab. You know what? Everybody feared King Ahab except Jezebel. Somebody spoke to Ahab and said, hey, you better watch.
But as wise as Solomon was, he still fell for it. And that's why we need each other.
I don't care who you are.
And I think it's all how you approach each other too.
We should invite accountability in here. Because if we talk about accountability and we do accountability and we ask brothers what's going on in their life, and you gotta be, that works two ways. If you got stuff going on and you gotta tell. I mean, you ain't no sense walking around with it, But when you do that, when you enter that relationship like this, man, it is awesome. And you know what? It's also infectious. There'll be brothers, you'll be talking, man, my accountability group, man, they're praying for me out. And the people see a difference in you, there's somebody commenting to me about a brother that goes to one of our groups. He said, man, I've seen a change in that guy. I need to be a part of that. But it's, how much ignorance does it take to be labeled ignorant? And to have everything that you've built your life upon, everything you stood for, how much of that does it take to make the lasting memory and your legacy be void?
That reminds me of that quote that I've heard, Satan will wait a lifetime to take you down.
Amen.
That was the fear of God. that's what the Lord's really telling me. Too much is given, much is expected. And man, we can't let there be any chinks in our armor. look at Moses, he was leading into life, man of God, he came out of nowhere, and God used him in a mighty way. And then he was leading the Israelites through the wilderness, and he got mad. God told him to speak to the rock, and he did. He hit the rock. He was mad at the right thing. And I'm just imagining he went a lot further than we would have, but he finally got sick of hearing all this trouble. He struck that rock because of that one thing. It didn't last 3 seconds. God said, you're not going to promise them. It's scary. But so I'm thinking, and so I feel like we need to check ourselves. But I told traditional Sunday, I said, you need to pray, God, put one sin right now and we'll get rid of it. Just take one sin a week, you know, big one. You can ask for more, But Lord, if that Holy Spirit revealed, what is it? And man, you know, what happened to Solomon is that the kingdom was split right after him. Rehoboam ripped it apart. What happened to David's family after he said, his family was ripped apart. What happened to Saul? Cost him his son.
There's so consequences to sin.
Whatever sin you're struggling with, your kids, there's a good chance they're going to struggle with that unless you don't deal with that problem.
Amen. Amen. So the choice is ours. If we want to be wise and grow in Christ, and it, you know, if somebody has spoke something to you and you know it's from the Lord, or if God has spoke something to you and you know it's from the Lord and you've done nothing with it, then He's not going to keep speaking it to you. It'll pass on to somebody else. Now, you know, what I also want to do is I want to pass a hat to Ben. Ben is going to where? Milwaukee. He's listening. Hey, he heard God. He's moving on God. God told him to go to Milwaukee and work in the inner city. He's selling everything he's got. He's going to talking about taking a big old, I mean, he's throwing the things up on the table. And it's doing this. Maybe. But, you know, our young brother in here is showing us how he's leading. You know, leaders lead. And it's time for us to lead. We need to start in our own house. If you don't know your kids and your wife are saved, start there. If you don't know that you're saved, start here tonight. Amen. I take nothing for granted because I've seen it come unravel later after we did it. If you don't know that you're going, that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, tonight, let's make that happen. Amen. Now, here's the thing. We all heard that. If you go home from here and you still struggle with that, then you're going. Amen. Let's get to getting.